This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to a double-sized edition of Dueling Reviews. And it's not a fat joke.
Hey!
I'm Steven, and there's Matthew, and this week we're taking a look at two comics for you.
Matthew.
We were so split on the decision last time that we decided to take a look at Jughead number one by Chip Zdarsky and Erica Henderson.
Erica Henderson. Yes.
And then we've got this other abomination called Telos from DC Comics. And why don't we start with the crappy one first?
Telos it is. So there was this whole convergence shmageggy not so long ago.
Yeah.
During which Brainiac, the original Brainiac, who is now the baddest Brainiac of all possible Brainiacs, because that's what they do at DC, created Telos, who's this guy. And apparently, although it wasn't something that he was constantly whining about in the eight issues of Convergence, all he wants is to be reunited with his family.
Oh, Telos? Yeah. He's like, I'm a family man, so leave me alone.
But he wants to get back to his family. So the first half of this issue he spends trying to kill Brainiac.
He's surfing an asteroid.
Yeah. Slashing his way into Brainiac's ship.
Which is a cool ship. It's a classic Brainiac ship from the Silver Age that I just love and adore so much.
It's technically a Bronze Age
Whatever.
Ship. First appeared in 1984 as drawn by Gil Kane.
Don't care.
But it is, in fact, the Brainiac that we all know from Crisis on Infinite Earths and Bloody Bloody Blue. After spending half an issue trying to kill Brainiac, he spends the other half of the issue relentlessly and endlessly parlaying with Brainiac about how, I'm smarter than you, Brainiac. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Oh, you're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? How about you give me a shard back and I'll have my infinite power back and we can both destroy Kulu together?
Exactly. Kulu, by the way, the home of the Brainiac. Right. Interestingly, this issue has a lot of 30th century in it.
Which I was really surprised about because in this issue, Kulo is being...
Kulu. Do not say Kulo. It is different when you say Kulo.
I know, right? What's kind
if
of a
Rodrigo
reflective...
If Rodrigo were here, he would tell us.
It's very reflective of this issue, though. Huh, interesting.
Oh, snap.
So the planet is being controlled by Computo, and also at his side is...
Validus
from the Sinister, what are they called?
Validus from the Fatal Five.
Fatal Five. The
Validus, in some continuities, the son of Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl, which is why he has brain lightning.
Yes, and just I was really surprised that that appeared because I was like, holy crap, this is not Legion of Superheroes time, as far as we know. That is not Computo with the crazy spaghetti arms. Lashing out and killing Triplicate Girl or one of Triplicate Girl's
This is the
parts.
Flame-headed Computo, who I believe we saw in your reboot Archie Legion.
Yes.
Created by Mark Waid 20-odd years ago.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of the Brainiac drones that are flying around.
The Droniacs,
cool.
If you will.
You know, there's some very cool elements in here, but it seems like... You know, my biggest complaint with webcomics that are collected into a trade is that, like, every sixth or seventh page of that trade, it's like it repeats itself.
It's all exposition,
yeah, it repeats itself again. It's like, didn't we just read this a few more pages ago? And there are, and this is only, what, a 28-page comic?
This is, barely even that.
There are at least four instances where the plot point is repeated again and again, I went to this place in space and my family wasn't there.
Yeah, this book is talky and not just talky, overdramatically talky, because Telos stomps in and tries to kill Brainiac. By the way, I want to stress this. I cannot stress this too much. This version of Brainiac, I call him five because I'm an idiot. Brainiac,
yes,
was introduced 2 years ago as the ultimate unstoppable alien. He was right. The biggest, baddest bad that ever did.
Right.
And now, in the Rob Liefeld theory, Telos has walked in and said, my power is now greater than yours.
But here's the problem. And something Brainiac has happened.
Like, no, I'm and the I don't, Brainiac.
But I don't know if it's Computo doing this, because when Telos arrives, Brainiac is like, Telos, no, my shields are down.
Do not
implying
kill.
That he has been attacked or something has happened to him where he does not. Yes, where he does not have his full powers. Now, the other thing is he doesn't have his full powers because he gave a sliver of that, a quote unquote shard, to Telos.
Telos himself. So yeah. That Telos could run the planet of infinite back issues.
No, he did it so that Telos has, as is explained here in this issue, he has infinite power and you can do anything except find his family.
Well, then it's not infinite power now.
Right.
It's nigh infinite power. I think my biggest problem with this issue.
No, there's only one.
Well, yeah, there is one overarching issue, and it can be explained roundaboutly. One of the things that is interesting about the New 52 DC since the year 2011 is that much of the editorial and creative staff, especially in upper level positions, are the same guys who were at Marvel in 1993.
Oh, this somebody book, like, yeah.
Yeah. We could mention names, but sure. There's no sense in it. This book feels like a Marvel book from 1993. Telos is this vicious, angry guy with infinite power and weird Cable. Metal things. And he's got a slashy blade on his arm like Wolverine.
Oh, Wolverine.
And he yells and but he's also got claws on his fingers and he kills and he's like, this is literally.
I'm the best that there is in the whole universe, Bub.
This is literally like the Rob Liefeld comics of the 90s, where every time a new character was introduced, what's the first thing he did? He beat up the last guy that Rob Liefeld introduced as the strongest by beating up the previous guy who was the strongest. Like 4 years in a row, there was a bit where Cabot beat up Bloodstone and then Operation Nightstrike beat up Cabot and then some mysterious Blade Face, I think his name was Deathstrike Blade Face, came and beat up. And it just – there is – honestly, and I read a lot of Convergence. I read six of the eight issues.
I read most of it too.
There's no reason to read this book.
Really? I don't know what the thing is. So just to kind of step back for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, this book is written by Jeff, was it Kring or King? I'm trying to get back to
King.
The page.
Jeff King.
Jeff King is the writer. He is the mastermind behind Convergence.
Yes.
Convergence was Jeff King's first comic book series.
Mm-hmm.
To a greater extent or lesser extent, I guess. I don't know. This must have been an okay popular series.
It sold.
It did sell.
We know it sold. And I think that's the thing, is because of the nature of Convergence, it sold comics. And now DC is giving us more Convergence because Convergence sold.
Well, I'm not sure. See, that's the part that I'm really confused about, because the issue sold, but I don't think it sold
because
that great. And I don't think it sold because of Telos. And so a lot of people complained about the writing. A lot of people had problems with the pacing. A lot of people had problems with, maybe not. I just know that everybody, I mean, there are some sites that that suck up to the bigger companies.
There are some people where if they love it, it's 5 stars. And if they don't love it, it's still five stars with a naughty, waggly finger.
Yes. And so I'm really confused. If DC doesn't care about this series, I mean, if they're not really expecting this to do much, if this is supposed to be like what was the Legion Police Force comic that ran in the 90s or whatever it was?
Legion Police Force?
Yeah, yeah. It was
a little spin-off.
Science Police?
I don't know.
If it's a series like Science Police where there's just like, man, let's just publish it because we can publish it,
but
then, yeah, go ahead and let Jeff King continue to write. But
Carlo
if this
Pagliaian
is something...
is one of their guys. He's a good artist.
No, I'm not saying he's a bad artist. I'm just saying that Science Police was not a well-executed story.
Science Police was basically a spinoff. Yeah.
It wasn't a well-executed story, which is what this one is, too. So if you're wanting to make something of Telos, if you're wanting this series to take off and you want people to flock to it, why are they having Jeff King write this again? I don't know. Maybe it's because he created Telos. I don't know.
I think that may be part of it. I think this may be the story that ran out of Convergence. And Jeff King said, hey, I've got a really great idea to do with this Telos guy. And here's a thing.
Okay.
When you create a character, it's easy to get wrapped up in that character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, and I may be wrong, and please feel free, faithful spoilerites, to send us an email at podcast@majorspoilers.com if I am wrong. I don't think that anybody walked out of Convergence thinking, hey, I sure do want to know more about this Telos guy. Because for the first two issues of Convergence, you and I both thought that Telos was just another Brainiac.
Right.
And now he has a name and he has this weird, tragic backstory. What he doesn't have is a personality.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a costume design that just leaps up and says, this is going to be the awesome new character find of 2015. He doesn't have a real motivation. And this book actually says, you know, spinning out of Convergence, woo, on the first page, universe shattering first issue Convergence spinoff, Frazba. And I'm just, it's too much. It's treating Convergence as though Convergence were the original Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll note that coming out of the original Crisis, you didn't have a big name artist all of a sudden doing a Pariah solo series.
Yeah, what happened to the Pariah solo series? What happened to the Jericho solo series?
We didn't come out with a Harbinger. We didn't come out of Infinite Crisis with an ongoing series for Superboy Prime. You know, this is the thing.
It's the series that no one asked for.
Exactly.
And yet it was delivered on our laps.
And it's delivered to us with bits and pieces of Legion lore. People are literally asking for a new Legion book, but you don't get that. People ask for Cassandra Cain. People ask for Donna Troy. People ask for Wally West.
Yeah.
But we haven't – well, I guess we have.
Cassandra Cain will appear in issue 3 of Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yep. She's on the cover. What's her face? Donna Troy is now back in Wonder Woman.
Wally West appeared in Convergence.
And I believe that wasn't there a new Wally West in Flash Annual number?
There was the black Flash. Not the Black Flash, but he was a –
Wally West is now an African-American character in the new continuity.
Yes.
Which I'm fine with.
No, I'm fine, too. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing.
So let me say this real quick.
Yes.
I don't necessarily have a problem with Jeff King as a writer because he's gone on and he's written some TV shows that many of us may remember. He wrote one episode of White Collar for USA Network. he wrote two episodes of Dino Sapien. He wrote Strange Days at Blake Hosley High. He wrote one episode of Mutant X. He wrote two episodes, looks like maybe four episodes of Stargate SG-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote seven episodes of Relic Hunter. So, he's done writing. He even wrote on Due South on and off over the years. 11 episodes there. So, I mean, he's done work. And we had mentioned before, I think during Convergence, that it felt oddly paced for a comic book, but maybe for a TV series it works.
Right.
This, again, repeating stuff again and again and again doesn't work when I can flip back three pages and see the exact same dialogue. And so I don't know, if I see somebody writing something that I don't think is working, I pull them aside and say, hey, man, do this. Pay attention to this. This probably doesn't work.
This issue is talky, it's repetitious, and it's heavily familiar. I mean, there's a lot of cliche in these pages.
Oh, yeah,
and
it starts out with Greek tragedy dialogue.
I have no problem with that. I have a problem with, I hear your words, mad god, but you cannot be trusted, followed immediately by, fine, we will work together.
It's the buddy team up that you always wanted, Matthew.
It's just empty bluster, and most of the issue is just Telos talking to Brainiac with some fight sequences. And that, to me, first of all, is not an exciting first issue.
No, it's not.
I do not know who would be the guy who says, I really wish there was more Telos. You know, of all the people coming out of Convergence that I wish there was more of, I might even want to see more Deimos. You know, the guy from Warlord who showed up and got murdered. Mm-hmm. I might want to see more crazy Hal Jordan as Parallax. I might want to see more pre-crisis Supergirl.
You know, I was thinking, I don't know, it was the other day in the shower before I even picked up the
television. I was thinking about
Convergence for some reason, and I guess because of the anticipation of the new season of Flash and Wally West and the kids and all that stuff. And I was like, I'm not sure I want to see more of that Wally West. But I'm kind of interested in the Speeding Turtle. I was more interested in reading a comic book about an anthropomorphic speedster turtle.
What's it?
Yes. Than I am about reading about Telos. Yeah. Telos is done. I mean, we got his story in Convergence. There's no reason to push onward. This is not. I mean, do you think that they think that Telos is the next Wolverine?
I think they think that Telos is a new character that they can do new things with. And I think that there is an expectation at DC that part of the problem with their sales is, oh, our characters are all old and familiar, and that they want to do something. And I use the term extremely loosely, something different. And that the expectation is that Telos could, be their next big thing. I'm going to go on record as stating right now, Telos will likely not be the next big thing, and if he is, I'll be super surprised. But then, you know, I am occasionally super surprised, so I'm not saying it can't happen. Based on this book, it's they got work ahead of them if they're going to make him the next big thing.
So here's one thing that I'll give some praise to this issue. I like the art.
The art is solid.
The art is really good.
Mostly solid. There's some issues with maybe sketchy facial expressions as we get into the second half of the book. And I feel like maybe Brainiac's head changes shape. Yes.
Well, as he rips him out of that machine thing that he's in, he starts to resemble more of a Silver Age Brainiac. Yeah, the only thing that he's missing is after he pulled him out wearing a pink jumpsuit.
Pink shorts, baby. Pink shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my, this is my recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
If you love Telos, first of all, what's wrong with you? Second of all, read this book. If you have no particular love for approximation of or questions about Telos, and I say that's probably, I'm going to say 80% of the population, there's no need to read Telos. There's nothing
there,
here.
There really isn't.
There's nothing here.
I don't know what all the scorings are on a scale of, but I'm looking at a 6.0. And I'm guessing that's on a 10 scale.
I'm hoping
it's not on a 5.
I hope
scale.
It's not a 6 out of 5, because that would.
I'm seeing a 5.5, a 5, and a 5. But again, on those two fives, I don't know what their scale is.
Right. Were I reviewing this book for Major Spoilers on our 5-point scale?
Yeah.
I would give it 1 star, and that would be the art.
Yeah, I really do like the art. I really do.
The main cover where Telos is floating in space and he's got square boots.
Yeah.
Almost makes me interested in the character. And then, no. You open the book and it's all, sing to me of the man, Muse, the man of twists and turns.
Well, you know what it's
time
like,
and again, of course.
Listen.
He had plundered the hallowed heights of Troy.
If they had kept that, if they had kept that writing up throughout the entire issue and all of the characters spoke in that style, I probably would have really bought into this.
Many cities of men he saw and did learn their minds. Many pain did he suffer. And then we cut to Telos, and Telos is like, my city destroyed. My family lost at the hands of a mad god. Tire tread on dog stomach. Now, don't read Telos.
The nice thing, the one thing is, this is a limited series.
Yeah, it is. You think they canceled Omega Men with a quickness.
Yeah.
They actually uncanceled Omega Men, I hear.
They did, because of fan feedback. And Jim Lee did go onto Twitter and say, hey, you know what? We're listening to you. We're going to bring this back, and it's going to get another, I think, 12 issues.
Yeah, basically they said that we promised you 12. we'll do at least 12.
Yeah.
So if, you know, theoretically, if the fans flood in and Omega Men start selling, we could get more Omega Men.
Yep. So both of those five ratings are 5 out of 10. So it's hitting 50% for most people. What I'm seeing in the reviews as I'm looking at them is that people like us are saying the art was good. Story, really problematic.
Yeah.
So I just say,
who are the
again, I don't want people to think that I'm like just off. I don't want people to think I'm crapping all over Jeff King, but
right.
I think the editors need to work a little bit more with him to figure out the best way to tell a story
and
make the
format.
Character interesting in a book that no one wants.
If you
can make a character that's interesting and a story that is solid in a book that no one wants, then you are successful, because then suddenly people will want that book.
And that's the thing. A good story about a character that I didn't think I cared about can make me care about that character. That's why that one issue where Mark Waid put Chuck Tane and Tenzel Kem against the Proteans was so great, because everybody was like, these guys are stupid. We're not even going to make them real superheroes in this universe.
Yeah.
And Wade's like, oh, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, so, anyway. So there's Telos from DC Comics out this week, brand new. We should have done this alphabetically. Well, we kind of did, but
did it reverse alphabetically.
Archie Comics presents Jughead number one. This is Chip Zdarsky and Erica Henderson. This is much, much better than Telos.
And
it's got Chip Zdarsky's kind of humor, and at times it becomes, you know, a little bit childish humor. It works and it fits for Jughead. But, you know, the thing that I have kind of a little bit of a problem with, and it's not a huge problem, but Mark Waid has written Jughead one way as this very quiet. He's got everything planned out in his head, but he's very standoffish and everything. Zdarsky channels some of that, but Jughead's a little bit more proactive here. I mean, he's proactive in the Archie series, but I mean, it's his own title. He's going to have to speak.
Right. This is Jughead's book, and Jughead is our central character.
Yeah.
I kind of agree, except that I feel like it's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
They are? Why didn't anyone tell me?
In Archie's book, Jughead is a side player. He's a supporting character. This is our focus on Juggy. I first of all, some of this is beautiful. I laughed out loud at least twice.
The Game of Thrones bit was hysterical.
The Game of Thrones is hysterical. The fact that Juggy sits up all night playing video games, then Archie shows up to take him to school, and he's like, how are you still awake? I move so little and eat so much, I no longer need sleep. God, Archie, respect me as such.
That's not how that works.
I told you my body doesn't work. That's how I stay awake.
And it's got that kind of stuff in there. And then so the premise is there is a new principal in the school. Mr. Weatherby has been let go. And the new principal Stranger.
Stanger
has implemented a new food policy, which sends Jughead into an uproar.
Yes.
And he's on the quest for the perfect infinite burger, which when he finds out that there's no good food, he passes out and has this great Game of Thrones called Game of Jones segment. And if you're wondering if Jon Snow survives into the next season of Game of Thrones, well,
poor Archie
is our Jon Snow.
The best part is when we get to the end of the whole fantasy sequence, he's like, "Lo! A seed that can grow a cheeseburger tree. Shame that Archie and Reggie had to die, though. Yeah. Free burgers forever."
Yeah. And then he goes to Home Ec and learns how to make the hamburger and kind of finds a loophole and sells hamburgers, makes some money.
Is wonderful. It is so wonderful. It's so amazing, because one of the great things about Jughead as a character is even in the old weird Archie comics, Jughead is kind of a little bit alien. Jughead is this weird guy that you would not be at all surprised when he actually ends up being in the Time Police. that happened.
Yeah.
But it's something that really works for me. I especially like the little side bits when Jughead comes in to save the day, he's wearing a Fox t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Which is another Archie comic. It's one of their Black Circle comics.
Yep. And you get these wonderful moments where the new principal clearly sees Jughead as the problem.
Right.
And is clearly targeting Jughead. And Jughead outsmarts him, not by being, you know, defiant, not by being above and beyond rotten kid, but by actually using the rules of the school against him.
Right.
That's that moment that surprised me, because I thought it was going to be, oh, ha, ha, Jughead falls backwards into another wacky scheme. Jughead is two steps ahead of Principal Stanger, and Jughead is really, hopefully not biting off more than he can chew, but is really committing himself to confronting this new principal and hopefully getting, you know, the bee back. Because, you know, as they said in Chasing Amy, Archie is not having sex with Mr. Weatherby. You can edit that out if you need to.
The story was, again, much better than Telos. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoy the Archie series. I do enjoy that there's a little bit more humor injected into this series, and that's a lot. Chip Zdarsky does a very good job of that.
This feels a little more traditional Archie, and I don't mean that in a way to sound like that's a bad thing.
That's kind of what floated into my mind, too, as I was reading this, is this is the situation you might find if you were reading one of the Volume 1 Archie books.
I think that the new volume of Archie is really kind of inverting or averting a lot of the tropes that we expect from an Archie story. It has a little more drama to it, and it has that, you know, I think it's playing the love triangle a lot more, not necessarily seriously, but a lot more for drama purposes. Mm-hmm. And this book is ha-ha wacky in certain places. And
yes,
it is a different tone, but I think that it kind of pairs with the other book well for me because it is a different tone. And of course, like the other books, it has a really, really old 1940s Jughead reprint in the back where we find that even in 1940, Jughead's world was a little
wacky.
Nutsy cuckoo.
And that's one of the nice things about these first issues that are coming out. And I think we're getting, what is it, a Betty series next?
Betty and Veronica, I believe.
Is it Betty and Veronica? Yeah. But
Betty
all of
and
them,
Veronica, and then Life with Kevin Keller is the other one we're talking about.
And one of the things they're doing in the first issues, and maybe the first couple of issues, is as they're waiting for the letters pages to fill up, is they're including reprints of the first issues of those characters. So in Archie, we had the first appearance of Archie Andrews. In this one, we get a reprint of the first issue of Jughead Comics. So I thought that was really cool.
Your father's mustache.
Yeah, your father's mustache. If Betty Cooper looks a lot like the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, it's probably not a coincidence, because Erica Henderson is doing the art over at Marvel Comics for the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. I think she does a bang up job on that series, and I think she did a fine job here.
Yes, she does really good work. And there are a couple of points where the traditional pointy Jughead nose looks funny, but throughout most of the book, she manages to make Jughead's pronounced pointy schnoz actually work in a relatively realistic context, which that's tough. That's probably the hardest thing about drawing any Archie title, is making them look like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really like the way this all comes together on the art side. I did not recognize photorealistic Mr. Weatherby.
Yeah. And I don't say that this is photorealistic. This is not
well,
that, but it's a different
more photorealistic
style. Yeah.
This
it's
is
not
problem.
The, it's not the pear-shaped Weatherby.
I don't think of Mr. Weatherby as being a peer of our age. And I look at this Mr. Weatherby and I'm like, that dude's like 51.
No.
Holy crap.
No, he's a little bit older than that. The one that I didn't quite recognize at first was Veronica when she did pass us through the panel. And I was like, oh, is that supposed to be Veronica? Okay, I can see that. Going back to the writing real quick, the Moose character. I hope they kind of keep
Moose.
That. Oh, hey, it's Moose. Hi.
And hi,
then,
Moose.
Jughead is going off on all of his stuff. And then as Jughead's running around screaming and runs off, and Moose is just like, bye. And then he plays Hodor in the Game of Thrones flashback,
yes.
where he just Moose. Says Moose all the time. And Dilton plays... what's the kid's name?
Arya?
whichever one that has to ride on Hodor's back all the time because he's crippled because he got pushed off after watching his.
It's like either Arya or Anya or Anyanka or.
No. Yes, yeah, whichever one that watched the brother and sister get it on in the first episode.
It doesn't matter, I suppose. Chip. His name is Chip.
I am going to give Jughead number one a thumbs up. I say go check it out at least if you enjoyed the Archie series as much as I did. You at least owe to yourself to read this first issue and see Jughead defeat a hamburger Jabberwocky.
Jughead learning how to cook is...
That is a great sequence, yeah.
Probably one of the stronger sequences of 2015. I wholeheartedly recommend this book because I think it is kind of that bridge, the bridge between the traditional Archie that we've seen and the new school Archie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that if you accept that Jughead Jones is the weird kid who goes on flights of fancy and says crazy things and maybe doesn't get enough sleep, if you take
he
it
doesn't
from
need sleep.
He's the perspective, right? He's our right. POV character, and he's been up for 12 and a half hours. He may be a little addle-pated at this point. I think this issue works perfectly well, even within the more realistic framework of the new Archie. Plus, mm-hmm. it looks fabulous, and mm-hmm. I'm hoping for more Jughead's Time Police.
We'll see if we get that far. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Two comics for you to go check out this week. One comic for you to go check out this week, two of them reviewed by us. As we look at the week ahead... We've got Abe Sapien, number 27 from Dark Horse Comics. Goon in Theater Bazaar, number 1. I think we've actually had this one for a while. It's actually pretty good. King Tiger, number 3, comes out next week. Rebels, number 7.
Rebels.
Over at DC Comics, we've got Batmite, number 5, Batman 45, Batman and Robin Eternal, number 2, Batman Superman 25. There is a deluxe edition hardcover of Batman Year 100.
What was that?
That was the one.
Is that Paul Pope?
Yes, Paul Pope, where it's the future Batman, and he's being hunted by flying police.
The flying police, yep. They're coming after Batman. Okay.
Yep, DC Comics Bombshells number 3 comes out, Earth 2 Society number 5, Justice League of America number 4, Mad Magazine 536.
Is that the one that's edited by Weird Al Yankovic?
No, that one came out a while ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that came out like, I want to say 2 months ago maybe.
Oh, man.
Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 62 comes out, as does Starfire number 5, and Superman, Lois and Clark number 1. Wait. I got to look up something. I want to see if this is this supposed to be like just borrowing the title? Oh, no. Okay, here's another one. Spinning Out of Convergence.
Ooh.
This is the Lois and Clark with the child.
Lois and Clark from the TV show.
Here are the adventures of the last sons and daughter of Krypton and Earth as they try to survive in a world not their own. But can they keep this world from suffering the same fate as their own? Can this Superman stop the villains he once fought before they are created on his world? What is Inner Gang, and why does Lois' discovery of it place everyone she loves in jeopardy? What will happen when their 9-year-old son learns the true identity of his parents? Make way
and
for the original.
And what about Naomi?
Make way for the original power couple, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, until death do them part. On sale.
Hey, they're still married.
Written by, well, this is the one where they remember Lois was given birth.
I remember superheroes can't
but
be married.
But I don't know
though.
Why is their son automatically 9 years old? That's the part
because
I don't understand.
It's been 9 years.
We're jumping forward 9 years.
Yeah, time, space, and dimension, baby.
Art by Lee Weeks, written by Dan Jurgens. There you go.
Jurgens!
IDW Publishing has G.I. Joe Cobra World Order Prelude.
I don't even
Jim
know
and
what
the
that
Hologuin.
Means.
Jim and I think Cobra's taking over the world.
Again? This trick never works.
Jim and the Hologram number 8. Max Maximized number 24. Star Trek Green Lantern number 4. Image Comics has Astronauts in Trouble number 5.
This astronaut is being in trouble.
Fuse number 15, I Hate Fairyland number 1. I think that's Scotty Young, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
Or at least he's doing some of the cover art on that. Let me double check this.
Scott.
And it's a mature reader's book. Oh, no, it's
Scotty
written,
Young doing
written
cover
and art.
Art.
The art and the entire book is written by Scotty Young. Superstar nice. Scotty Young makes his Image debut with an all-new series, the Adventure Time Alice in Wonderland-style epic that smashes its cute little face against the Tank Girl. Deadpool-esque violent madness has arrived. In an adventure that ain't for little kids, unless you have super cool parents, then whatever, you'll meet Gert, a 6-year-old girl who has been stuck in the magical world of Fairyland for 30 years and will hack and slash her way through anything to find her way back home. Join Gert and her giant battle axe in a delightful blood-soaked journey to see who will survive the girl who hates Fairyland.
Dr. Battle Axe.
I think we should read that book next week.
All right. What's it called?
I Hate Fairyland by Scotty Young. Put out by Image Comics.
I think what I'm really trying to say here is I hate sauerkraut.
Wicked and Divine number 15 arrives next week over at Marvel.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to that.
Over at Marvel, we have A-Force number 5, Captain America Sam Wilson number 1, Chewbacca number 1.
What a Wookiee.
And that one, they actually do not use internal monologue or him speaking in the issue.
Roar!
Yes, it's going to be that. Figment 2 number 2.
How are they going to do that?
Hey, you don't always have to. How do they make the Age of Dinosaurs or Age of Reptiles work without dinosaurs going, hey, man, what are you going to go do today? Maybe we should go down to the mud pits and laugh at all of the dinosaurs that got trapped in the tar. They don't have to do that.
That's just hurtful.
Well, that's why the dinosaurs were extinct, because they didn't care about each other.
Douchosaurus Rex is what.
Yes, exactly. New Avengers number 1, Spider-Gwen number 1.
I'm 44 years old. New Avengers number 1 is New Avengers volume 6 number 1.
That's not how Marvel plays
it. The 6th volume of New Avengers since 2004.
Well, that's, you know, that's 6 volumes in 50 years?
That's new.
Yes, but it's
Avengers.
But to people who have never picked up the Avengers before, this is new to them. Uncanny Avengers gets a number 1, as does Uncanny Inhumans. What If Infinity X-Men number 1? What other number 1s are coming out next week?
Pretty much everything.
Oh, Spider-Man 2099.
Spider-Man. Did you?
Guardians of the Galaxy gets a number 1 issue, finally.
Spider-Man. Guardians.
Oh, Man-Thing by Steve Gerber, Complete Collection, Trade Paperback, Volume 1, $39.99.
No way!
Yes, you can own your very own Man-Thing.
Oh, I want that.
For only $39.99.
That's a really big Man-Thing, too. I mean, that's not like the smaller Man-Thing.
It says the Complete Collection Trade Paperback, but it's listed as Volume 1.
Well, that's the Gerber. Gerber did, I think Gerber did like 30 issues all told.
Yeah, they could do that in a complete volume, yeah.
Yeah.
Also arriving. Go ahead.
You know, that rolled straight into giant size Man-Thing.
Yes.
And then Howard the Duck, and I think there's a second volume of Man-Thing.
Assassin's Creed number 1, Bad Moon Rising number 1, Broken Moon number 2, Clandestino number 1.
Did it rise or did it break first?
Clandestino number 1, Critter number 4, ooh, Cross Badlands number 87, and Crossed Plus 100 number 10.
What's Crossed Plus 100?
It's the Cross series. It's your favorite series.
You realize I haven't read an issue of Cross since before issue 50.
I know, you're just saving them up so you can just binge read them all at once.
Saving them up so that I can vomit all at once.
Yes.
I really enjoyed Wish You Were Here, Cross Wish You Were Here, which was actually a webcomic.
Daymen number 8. Let's see.
Daymen.
Here's a book for everybody.
Okay.
Frickin' Butt-Kickin' Zombie Ants, Graphic Novel Volume 1. That's an $8 book. Frickin' Butt-Kickin' Zombie Ants, Graphic Novel Volume 1. Gold Digger 225, House of Axe One Shot.
Axe is in effect.
Kids of the Round Table Trade Paperback. Lantern City Number 6, Pokemon, Pocket Comics Legendary Pokemon Graphic Novel. The Devil Has Risen, Pippi Longstocking, Strongest in the World Graphic Novel. Ooh. Do a search on Pippi Longstocking as the Devil.
I like her funny name.
Go do a search for Pippi Longstocking as the Devil.
I'm not going to go do a search for Pippi Longstocking as the Devil.
My friend Dave, I don't know if the website's still up. My friend Dave, way back in the day when he was in college, had a whole thesis with examples from the movies and the books on how Pippi Longstocking was the Antichrist. It was the funniest thing in the world. And a lot of people followed the website, too, because they believe in it. So Red Sonja Conan number 3 comes out next week.
Red Sonan, if you will.
Red Sonan. And if you head over to majorspoilers.com, we've got a preview. They're going to talk about it this weekend at the New York Comic Con. But Deja Thoras, Red Sonja, and Vampirilla are all getting a they're getting a redo, but they're also getting a makeover. And not not the kind of makeover that you think. But new creative teams.
New creative teams, new suits,
everything. I think, at least the covers of the Red Sonja, she still has long hair, but I thought she was going to get short hair in that.
Interesting.
Deja Thoras actually puts on more clothes.
Well, and Vampirilla have to.
Vampirilla's costume, I don't know if you saw that, is rather interesting because she's wearing, you know, people went nuts because she was wearing the pants.
Right.
So she's ditched the pants for some knee-high lace-up boots.
Right.
Some, like, spiker bandex shorts. And then, like, a jumper, a romper on top of that with a high collar and the Vampirilla logo on the back.
That sounds kind of cool.
It does look kind of cool because then she's got the biker gloves or the fingerless gloves on as well. And then she wears a ponytail and a choker. It's a really cool design. I like it. The problem is part of me, it reminds me of the XS costume as well Jesse Quick costume. There are parts of it that remind me of that.
So, well, we'll see if it sticks. The thing about Vampirella reboot launch boots is Vampirella has had several new costumes in the past 15, 20 years, and we almost always revert back to the Borat thong sooner rather than later. So,
yeah, no, this one, I mean, and she's not wearing the duster or any of that stuff. I just sent you a link there, Matthew, in case you hadn't seen it. But just scroll down.
I heard something go good work for
Vampirella. Yeah. I think it's a cool looking costume.
I do too.
And I think the Deja Thoras one, she's wearing, you know, she's wearing some booty shorts instead of the thong.
Right.
Vampirilla or Red Sonja, all we're getting are the covers right now. We don't get to see the actual makeover.
I really like the new look for Deja because it keeps that sort of lobster princess thing that she's always had, but it also finally covers her nipples completely, which
I would say the weird thing about the Deja Thoras costume redo is if you put the DC universe in a fantasy setting, that's how Wonder Woman would dress.
I can see it maybe.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they kept, you know, the gold filigree in her shoulders and her elbows and things.
Yep.
Basically what this is she's wearing the same damn armor. She just put some clothes on under it.
Vampirilla Army of Darkness number 4 arrives next week. Witchcraft Works graphic novel number 7. Oh, and in 2 weeks, you know what comes out in 2 weeks?
What's that?
Back to the Future from IDW Publishing.
Oh, Marty! Marty, it's your comics!
Do you know what day it comes out?
October 21st, 1985?
Yes. Do you know what time? Yep, exactly.
So. At 2013 p.m.? I don't know.
But it's the 21st, which is
at the Lone Pine Mall.
It's the date that Marty went to the future, 2000.
No, that was 3 years ago. I saw it on Facebook.
All right, everybody. That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast with a friend. Thank you for those 5-star reviews over at iTunes. We really do appreciate that. If you want to help us out a little bit more, consider becoming a Major Spoilers VIP. Your Major Spoilers VIP membership, depending on which level you go with. Number one, it most certainly helps this show continue and, in fact, allows us to do everything here at Major Spoilers. But depending on your level of membership, your membership level, you get access to original art, you get access to original podcasts, you get access to our behind-the-scenes stuff that we do. If you're a gold member, you get to do the VIP live chat, which is happening this Sunday, October 11th at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Plenty of time to sign up. Heck, you could even become a VIP member that day and still get into the live chat. So it's pretty cool. Go check it out. It's members.majorspoilers.com. I hope you do sign up. As Matthew said earlier in the show, if you have any questions, just drop us a line. podcast@majorspoilers.com. And until next week, when you're going to hear Matthew say,
boogity, 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 wah, wah, wah.
I don't know why he always says that. But anyway, take care.
This podcast podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.